Hi, welcome back. Frosty Wooldridge joins us tonight, my friend, your friend, for a long time. Frosty, I think, as most of you know, recently lost his wife, Sandy, to one of the worst types of villains on the planet, Alzheimer's. She was diagnosed about 4.5 years ago, and Frosty and Sandy decided that they were going to beat Alzheimer's. I cannot imagine another human being who studied harder, researched further, tried everything under the sun, everything imaginable, to fight this evil, horrible disease, at least to a standstill and hopefully to reverse it. Tragically, it didn't work. There are many reasons that we'll never understand why it didn't work, and I say it. Frosty was employing dozens of protocols, dozens of books read, dozens of different ways of trying to help Sandy's body defeat this most evil invader. And it just tragically ran out. It got worse about 2 years ago, and then it just went downhill. Sandy passed away without a lot of, there was really no warning, but without a lot of overt pain and anguish, she just shut off. And I guess that's what happens with Alzheimer's people. Many of you listening have either lost a loved one to Alzheimer's or know somebody who has lost a loved one to Alzheimer's. It's just a merciless, it's from hell is what it is. And I know Frosty. And if you know Frosty, and I think most of you do, as someone who will not take no for an answer, he won't quit. He's bicycled across 6 continents of this planet, if not 7, I think 6 at least. And that kind of discipline, that kind of work ethic, if you will, that kind of devotion to plan, endless energy, Frosty will not take no for an answer. And there is just no way to describe grief. When you lose something that has become a part of your soul, your life, it's just indescribable. Everyone deals with pain of loss differently. Sometimes they can handle it on the outside. Sometimes they continue to break down and cry, and that's fine. That's what we do as humans. We react emotionally to human situations. So Frosty wanted to come on the program Tuesday, and I talked to him. I've talked to him a number of times, and I said, no, it's not time yet. And he was just, this man has really been hit hard. He was as devoted as anyone can be to a marriage, to a spouse, to a friend, to a companion. And Sandy was the same way, until she got to the point with this Alzheimer's tragedy that a couple of years ago, she really began not to relate and not to express like she used to. And it went from bad to worse from there. So I said, how about Friday, Frosty? Give it 3 more days. He said, okay. But he wants to talk about what he wants to talk about, what he did for Sandy. We're not telling any of you out there in any way, shape, or form, not to try, because there have been remissions from Alzheimer's. It just didn't happen in this particular case. But no one could try harder than Frosty. And I'll give Sandy credit as well, of course. It takes two. But the war that they fought against this horrible, evil disease it's the stuff of legends, really. I don't know anyone who has tried harder and researched more deeply than Frosty about anything. He got into this and went all the way to the bottom of the barrel, looking, reading, synthesizing, hoping that something would make a difference. Something would slow it, perhaps, and stop it. But sometimes that's just not the way things go. With Alzheimer's, it's most of the time. All right, my friend, welcome back, and let's do what you want to do here. And not to worry, this is a wonderful group of people listening, and they're going to understand if you lose it a little bit. It's okay, so don't worry about that. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, Jeff, and I also want to thank Todd for all these years, prepping me for being on your show. And I would like to, the reason I'm coming on the show tonight is I am in the deepest sorrow of my life. I'm in the deepest sorrow, and I've lost, friends in Vietnam. I've lost one brother. I lost my dad when I was a teenager, and I've seen death.
And yes, so you have. Yes,
I've seen it, and we're all going to see death at some point. But through my sorrow, what I wanted to do tonight was maybe help others across America and Canada and the world to take actions that may save you or a loved one. Mm-hmm. But I want to just share my story, and if I do a little crying, I might lose it for a bit, but I'll try to hold myself together.
Not to worry, Frosty. Hey, this is an eye to eye. We're all in this, and we're looking right in at Frosty's life, so to speak. And loss is part of life, and I think it's the dirtiest joke ever, frankly. But it happens, and you're all going to face it. Many of you already have. You've lost a loved one, and God bless especially anyone who's lost a child. I can't even imagine that. It's horrible. So this is real life. This is real radio, so to speak. And go ahead, Frosty. Just take your time. Don't worry about speeding up or slowing down or anything. Go ahead.
Well, first off, I want to share how I met Sandy. For my age group, I was kind of tall at 6 feet, 2.5. And I always I was a dance man. I learned jitterbug from my parents, six count jitterbug. And back in college, I would have girls line up because they liked to touch dancing instead of just flailing away and freestyle dancing. Mm-hmm. And that was fun for me because I got to dance with all the girls who liked to get spun around and have a basic jitterbug six count.
And you probably made a lot of their boyfriends angry. But they love to dance.
Well,
ladies love to dance. Yeah.
Ladies love to dance. In fact, in my book, How to Deal with a 21st Century American Woman, that came out about 14 years ago, and it says co-creating a successful relationship. Mm-hmm. I have a chapter in the book, and I said the one, you can be fat, you can be short, you can be tall, you can be skinny, you can be smart, you can be not so smart, but if you learn this one thing, you'll always have a lady on your arms, and that's learn how to dance, whether it's country and western, whether it's salsa, Latin, whether it's ballroom, or whether it's west or east coast swing. And you notice the stars that are dancing with the stars. I mean, my gosh, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I came down to Teddy's in Denver on I-25, Howard Johnson's.
What is Teddy's? What is Teddy's?
It's a dance hall.
Okay.
Yeah, and this happened 32 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this gal across the dance floor, and she was sitting with a purple miniskirt and a white blouse, and she was just smiling and just effervescent. So, and then she had a long pair of legs. She was 5 feet 10. And I went over there and said, would you like to dance? And she said, I'd love to. And we got on the dance floor, and when you get a gal, and I know a gal that gets into the arms of a man who can lead, and a man who gets into the arms of a gal who can follow on that lead, it's you get to express the music through your union, your one. you're one with each other, and you're one with the music, and you're in that frame. It's called a frame.
Yeah.
And we just hit it. I mean, she was just so fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got her phone number and let's do this again. And we did it again, and we did it again, and we did it again. And all of a sudden, on that dance floor, we fell in love. And mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, I got her on the dance floor at the Boulder Broker, which was a brass fencing with glass around and so forth. And I had the DJ put on Elvis Presley's Can't Help Falling in Love with You, and I asked her to marry me halfway through the dance. And, of course, she said yes.
How long ago was this about after you met, you two?
Well, actually, it was 6 years because I wanted to make... She had two boys, and she'd had a pretty rough time with the ex, and she wasn't really happy about marriage, and she wasn't happy about men. But after a couple of years, she said she liked me because I was a pretty nice guy. And I said, I don't want to mess the kids' minds up, so let's wait till they get out of high school, so they won't be so affected. Because I'd seen a lot of stuff as a teacher in the teaching
yes.
days.
Yeah, I understand.
And so later on, she was upset that I wouldn't get married with her at that point, and later on, she thanked me that I used my experiences
That's a remarkable story. Excuse my stepping in here, but you waited 6 years for the betterment of her kids.
Yeah.
That's quite gracious, to put it mildly. Yeah, very good.
You know, by that time, they were attached to their father and so forth, and I was no longer a stranger, and I had a good relationship with them, and they were grown up, so they were, and one was 16, and the other one was 19, mm-hmm. and so we had a beautiful wedding on the side of a mountain in Castle Rock, Colorado,
mm-hmm.
and it was beautiful, and I had all the dance friends come. And here's what she said to me, and here's what I said to her. And this has been on my desk, and she has one on her desk all these years. I take you, Frosty, to be my partner, my best friend, and husband.
Mm-hmm.
In doing so, I'm announcing and declaring that I will give you my deepest friendship and love. I further announce before the Lord God and my family and friends that it is my intention to be with you forever in a sacred partnership of heart and soul, sharing with you all that is good within me to protect and to cherish you always. Signed, Sandy.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful. And I wrote, my dearest Sandy, your mm-hmm. spirit lifts me to the skies and your laughter soothes my soul. Your energy and style caress my spirit. Your joy is my joy. Your beauty is my lucky star. As we spread our wings on this great new adventure, I want to let you know why I love you. That first night on the dance floor with your spirit, dancing eyes, and I always called her, she was my dancing eyes, and sparkle so thrilling, captivated my soul.
Mm-hmm.
That moment has remained with me because it has not been matched in my life. Your excitement for just about everything tickles my heart with warmth and peace. We have some wonderful avenues to seek and share in our coming third of this fantastic voyage. I'm privileged to share them with you. You lift mm-hmm. me with your power and touch my being. You lift me with your power and touch. You touch my being. I have not had you out of my mind for even a day in the past 6 years. My hands truly belong in your hands on this walk, around a lake, through the forest, up a mountain, side by side in slumber, across the meadow, on the dance floor, at the supper table, in church, and all the other paths of life. For I am certain that my heart is safe in your hands, and always will be. You have my honor that I will do everything to support you and cherish you. I will support your sons by my actions and character. I will cheer them in their path toward life. I will support you and your challenges with their challenges. May we laugh, cry, share, and paint the dance floor with our spirits in the years to come. My darling life mate, wife, and best friend, I love you, Sandy, and my signature. And I've kept that promise and that wedding vow, 32 years of dancing and romancing and bicycle adventures and mountain climbing and skiing and rafting and backpacking and tennis and racquetball and all the things that we traveled and shared, whether it's, you know, the biggest block party in the United States, in the world, is Sturgis, South Dakota, motorcycles, and, you know, bicycling the West Coast, and I wrote a book about it, Zen Between Two Bicycle Wheels, Eat, Pedal, Sleep, Baby Boomers Bicycling the West Coast, and, of course, she always promoted me to take off on adventures if she didn't want to go off on them, and so we shared all these wonderful things. And this is no kidding. In 32 years, we were so well matched. We really matched all the co-creating successful relationship. Sure. We never had an argument. We never raised our voices. We never said any bad things to each other. We were always respectful. And we had spirited conversations with some differences because everybody has a different thing going. But it was always respectful, and we always before we went to bed at night, we always made sure that we were even-keeled, and it was great. So I'm always thankful for a fabulous relationship with Sandy.
You know, Frosty, excuse me, what you both had doesn't happen very often at all. It just doesn't.
I know. When you look
you
at
hit
the
jackpot. You both did.
Yeah, we hit the jackpot. Well, when you look at that's the reason I wrote the book, How to Deal with the 21st Century American Woman, because I came out of the 60s, the 40s, actually, and men owned the house, they owned the car, they owned the money, they owned everything, and women didn't. And then after the 60s, we started having women's lib and women's rights and so forth. And I had a friend say, you got to write a book for us. You know, how do we work with women so we can have a good relationship? Because he had just had his third divorce. And I took all my years as a truck driver with United Van Lines, and I watched a lot of divorces. I was a barber in college, self-taught, and I would give 15 to 20 haircuts every Saturday and Sunday for a buck a head. It was good spending money. And I heard all these terrible stories about parents who were just mismatched. And then when I was a teacher, I got to see more of that. And when I was a cardiac catheterization, I got to see the same thing. And also, I got to see it when I was a volunteer ski instructor for the handicap at Winter Park for 24 years. So I got a broad, you know, fantastic spectrum of what it's good. And in fact, in my book, I talk about eight compatibilities that you have to have in a relationship, and Sandy and I had them all. And but you got to find out. And I always say, and I said in my book, you don't just see somebody in September and you get married in June. You have 2 years of courtship, and then if you're really serious and you're going to have kids, because I was a teacher, I don't like to see kids break down in class. I said, you know, live together 1 year. So 2 years investment of courtship to find out who you both are and how you work out and all these eight compatibilities. And then 1 year of living together. And then when you put that investment in, then if it all works out, you can get married. Because I hate all of these children of the 55% of the divorced parents, having to suffer the insecurity and loss of love and loss of constancy.
Terrible.
You know, and there's another book I touted in there was by Barbara DeAngelis. Every married or every couple that's engaged should read the book, Are You the One for Me? And you take the tests in there, and she tells you at the end when you tabulate everything, you've got a 50-50 chance, you've got a 70% chance, you've got an 80% chance. Oh, you two are matchmade in heaven. You've got a 90% chance of having a positive marriage relationship. So my book and her book, I would say if Americans read them or Canadians read them, those two books, and they followed what was in those books, what's in those books, and that Are You the One for Me is like 30 years old, divorce rates would go down to probably somewhere around 10 to 20%, and maybe even less. I do feel blessed beyond measure, even though I'm in the kind of sorrow I'm in right now, and I'm thankful. And I really like to share that because I'd like to see everybody as happy as Sandy and I were happy daily.
And how about even for 5 minutes a day, if people could get to that state? And again, I'm sorry, but most people just don't live in that kind of a realm. They can't get there for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's very true. You really have to match up and know how to match up. You really have to do that. Those two books, How to Deal with 21st Century American Women, it's got a heck of a cover on it. It's called Eve and Ivy. And it's very
you might want to update that and re-release it somehow. I don't know.
Oh, it's out. It's on Amazon. Out there, and it's been going. So anyway, all of this fun about 4 years and 7 months ago started little signs. And those little signs, she forgot this, and then she didn't know how to put the keys into her car, and she couldn't remember how to get back to our house from the rec center, and then she couldn't really drive, and she couldn't remember things, and she just started verbally not working so well, and then I went down and tested her, and she had all these heavy metals. So I detoxed all the heavy metals and all the chemicals out of her with the ion cleanse bath, with chlorella, combination of chlorella, and humic fulvic mineral.
Hi, Frosty, quick question, please.
Yeah.
How did you both determine that there were heavy metal issues in her physiology? What did you do any specific testing? Go ahead.
Yeah, urine tests, fecal tests. And then she
hair,
was
hair test.
Low,
there's a lot in the hair too, I guess.
Oh yeah. Well, test. You have a low, medium, and high, and she tested high on palladium and lead and mercury and cadmium, and so I used the cilantro leaves and the humic fulvic mineral and the chlorella, and it's documented. You can chelate all the heavy metals out of your body, and I did, and within 1 year she was all down to baseline. And then I bought the book that came out, and it was called Alzheimer's, First Survivors of Alzheimer, in their own words, First Survivors of Alzheimer's. Five women actually got their brains back, and two men, and they followed all this stuff, and I followed everything they did, but I even went further. I got Sandy into chiropractic. I got her into hyperbaric oxygen chamber. It's an hour's worth of 96% oxygen to feed her brain. I got her into acupuncture, earthing sheets to balance her electrical currents with the earth's magnetic mat to balance her magnetic field with the planets, purified water, reverse osmosis. I gave her a full body massage, front and back, every single morning. All these years, ion cleansing bath 1 hour a day, walking on the track for 50 minutes to push your heart rate up, nitric oxide, which is a natural to push more oxygenated blood, actually 60% more oxygenated blood to her brain, wet sauna, dry sauna, and I was by her side 24/7 for these 4.8 years of this disease that just kept getting worse. And so
Frosty, a quick question, please. When she and you both realized the adversary you were up against, how did she approach it? The same way you did? Whatever you want to do, Frosty, did she do her own research? How did you interact with her on that?
She was 35 years a registered nurse, so she was pretty sharp cookie. She graduated from the University of Wyoming.
Right.
And nursing. And anyway, she would go walk with girlfriends down our street, mm-hmm. and I had one come over, and she would express her fears that she was losing her cognitive abilities. And one of her girlfriends came over the other day, because I've lost 8 pounds now. I can't eat. I'm so sick to my heart, and I'm so sick. I'm in such despair right now. I can hardly function. In fact, the best part of the day is I'll go to sleep 5 minutes after our conversation, and I take 3 sleeping pills because my brain is just roiling with all this stuff. And then I go to the bathroom around 2 o'clock, and then my brain, I have to take 3 more sleeping pills. Last night didn't do me any good. My brain's just roiling with all this sorrow and the pain and the despair and the helplessness and the loss of the love of my life. And so that's the way it was. And this one of her girlfriends came over, and she said, "What do you got in the refrigerator? You look too skinny." Her name was Janie, and she's been such a doll. And she was Sandy's walking companion. And she said, "Get over the refrigerator. What's that? Is that salad? Get the salad out. I want you to eat that salad. What's that? A burrito? Yeah, a potato burrito. You get that potato burrito. Heat it up. I want you to eat it." And I had some broccoli soup, and she says, "You're going to eat that broccoli soup, and I'm going to stay right here and watch you do it." And so I have a lot of friends, you know, and I want to thank all of the Rents audience across the globe. Thank you. I've gotten emails of condolences from Australia. I got 2 from Australia. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank all of you. You've been so kind, and you offered so much. And it's been, you know, it's just been heartening to know that people care across the globe. And so for those of you who may face, and that's why I wanted to come on tonight, for those of you who have a loved one that could face this, the biggest key is we all in this country have to change the way we eat and the way we exercise. And anybody can email me, and if they want to get the whole slew of books that I bought and read, one of them is called Outlive, Science and Art of Longevity by Peter Attia. And he says that, of course, your intake of food and exercise are your 2 best medicines. And we have to understand that we're eating a very poisoned food chain in this country, and that you really, really... you've got to understand what you're eating, and you got to make sure you're not feeding all these chemicals to your kids, and they're not eating it at the local junk food joint. And I mean, you all know what junk food joints I'm talking about. I don't have to enumerate them to you.
Fast food
and processed
fast
food,
poison,
and trans
horrible.
Fats, and the all the sugars, like there's 50 different kinds of sugar. High fructose corn syrup is addictive, and it's just killing our bodies with all the poisons that it is. And then you've got the glyphosates from all of the sprays that are out there. Yeah. And so you've really got to go after nutritious foods, organic foods. You've got to get the Monsanto and all of these big companies you got to stop them from poisoning our food chain, because that's what they're doing. You really have to demand. I mean, Natural Grocers doesn't sell anything that's got spray on it. Natural Grocers is the one grocery store that everybody should go to, because they just, and the Sprouts does a great job too. So the next thing is, there's another book out there, Awakening from Alzheimer's, Memory Loss, and Dementia by Peggy Sarlin, S as in Sam, A-R-L-I-N. And there's 9 doctors in there, and they gave me more information on things like mangosteen juice, which does some amazing things, and it's from Thailand, and it's a fruit juice. And I've been told that it lengthened her life, you know, by a year or two. I don't know, but that I've been told that because of all these things I did. And then
I think you gave her at least 2 more years from my perspective, probably, of being right here and talking to you and listening to what you were doing. I don't know how it couldn't have. This is, you did everything I think, that there is to do. And yet you were defeated by this evil thing.
This is an evil disease. It's the cruelest disease on the planet. And anyway, I, in fact, I read all these books, and I read every paper that was on the internet, and Alzheimer's group, you name it, I've done everything. And I went way beyond stuff. Even Tim Robbins wrote a book called Life Force. And Tim Robbins, you know, he's a big speaker and all that. Tony Robbins. And he got dementia, and he had high concentrations of all these metals, and he got them chelated out of him just like I did with Sandy, and he got his brains back, and he got into hyperbaric oxygen chamber, and I read that book about a year and a half ago, and as soon as I did, I just got Sandy down to the hyperbaric oxygen chamber, and so the next book is The End of Alzheimer's Program. One of the biggest keys is when I took Sandy in for evaluation, I had an MRI, and Dr. Hopps, which is a 2.0 MD with a certification from the Dale Bredesen Clinic, she said, your wife is very bad, and that she is not going to recover. I walked out of that office. I cried all the way down the elevator. I cried all the way out to the car, and I was holding Sandy. And at that point, she could still talk, and she could do what she could do. And but I was depressed for 3 days. But I'm not a person to be depressed, except I'm extremely depressed right now. But anyway, I pulled myself together, and I just kept researching and researching, and getting everything I could. And I'd even write back to the doctor, are there any new, you know, therapies here? And, of course, they said no. And so and then there's another one, Dr. Dale, it's called the Healthy Brain Zone by Dr. Don Colbert, C-O-L-B-E-R-T. Read that, followed everything in there. And then they're starting to get repetitive, but if you get, you know, you get one book, you might get one something else out of it, like I did with Outlive. And I got with Life Force with Tony Robbins. Another one, The Plant Paradox by Dr. Stephen Gundry. You just don't even know. Most Americans don't know how much they're poisoning themselves. I mean, you know, with the glyphosates that are in Roundup, you never want to eat anything with Roundup. You want to stay away from sugars. Sugar, any kind of sugar. There's 50 different names for sugar. They stick sugar in just about everything. I mean, it's everywhere. And there's another one that's called Keeping Sharp by Dr. Sanjay Gupta, G-U-P-T-A. He also wrote 12 Weeks to a Sharper You by Dr. Sanjay Gupta. And so these are the main, there's the three or four other little books that were not as helpful, but these are the ones that were the most powerful. And the key is if you have a loved one or you're in your family, you know, the Mediterranean diet, the organic diet, and if you're a meat eater, you want to have organic and grass fed, you know, cows, beef. Same thing with if you're going to do pork or chicken. And I have to tell you, you got to go range fed and unpoisoned chickens, because the average chicken has 9 chemicals injected or fed into them throughout the process.
Nine.
Growth hormones, they've got all these different hormones to make sure they don't get sick, because they're all stuffed into these godforsaken... I mean, they kill 24 million chickens every day in this country.
It's
just
crazy.
To feed the 350 million people. So they got to feed them all this crap. And so when you eat them, you're eating the 9 chemicals. And I got the names of the chemicals. It's unbelievable. 9 chemicals injected or fed into these. And then they're eating all the GMOs. You want to get away from GMOs. You got to detoxify and you've got to do it consciously and intelligently. You've got to shop intelligently. You've got to, and if we could all as a nation do that, then we could stop the Monsantos and the Chevrons from, you know, creating all these godforsaken chemicals like DDT. They're still making DDT, and it's being used around the world.
Hard
it's not
believe.
Used here because it's a big against the laws against it. And so anyway, those are the books. And if you need to have all this information, I can send it to you in the email.
Isn't a good
if you're
idea,
going to save
Frosty?
Yourself,
for
or
people,
a loved one from dementia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or even, you might even extend that to Parkinson's, and you might extend that to ALS, because it's all neurological, and we have poisoned the world so horrifically in the last 60 years since, you know, World War II.
Right.
70 years now.
Is it a good rule of thumb, Frosty?
Early nutrition, detox, and exercise.
I don't think Frosty can hear me. Okay.
And every one of these books says that you've got to get out there and sweat. You got to work out every day, at least 6 days a week, but seven's better, to pump the blood, clean the system, and absolutely work everything into the brain.
Even if you walk for half an hour,
that's
going to help.
The slow, endless, unsurvivable decline toward death. The average from diagnosis to death is 8.2 years. I thought I still had her for at least a couple of years, but some live longer and some live shorter.
Frosty, can you hear me?
With Sandy.
Can you hear me, Frosty?
Two and a half years. She hasn't been, she would say, I like you. She would say, I like you. And sometimes I'd ask her a question or say something, and she'd say yes or she'd say no. But she couldn't talk anymore. I mean, she was reduced to about a two-year-old. And of course, my only purpose, and I'll share this with everyone, my brother put my mother into an assisted living home her last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to visit her 6 months before she passed away. And she was 90, so she had a great life. And I had a great mother, and I had a great dad. And anyway, I came to visit her in Madison, Wisconsin, and she was staring at the wall. And she was in a small room. In fact, it was a prison room. It was 8 by 10 by 12 with a bathroom. And anyway, I went to talk to the lady, and I said, why don't you put the TV on for my mother? We're paying you a lot of money. I mean, we were paying $5,500 a month among my siblings. And they said, oh, yeah, okay. And my brother then called them up because he was paying the money out. And then I actually tried to get her here in Golden, at the On Golden Pond facility. But Howard felt that she should stay there because my sister was there. I said, well, I can see her, you know, every day after working out for at least a couple hours or at least an hour, and she'd have her son. And anyway, Howard wouldn't do it. So I was very upset with my brother, but there's nothing I could do. He had the purse strings, a power of attorney. And so anyway, my mother died among strangers. And so I have to tell you, my goal with Sandy was to outlive her so she would not get stuck into, because her sons would put her into, because they're doing their lives, and they would put her into a facility. And I couldn't imagine leaving the love of my life into a facility where she dies among strangers.
What they do is, and most of you know this, they warehouse people. That's all those
places
are.
That's what it is. It's warehouse.
And, I want to say one thing about food again. If it doesn't have, and this is not necessarily an ironclad guarantee, but if it doesn't have organic, that little organic label on it, put it back. Don't even take a chance. Most organic foods are going to be so much better than processed foods. Don't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it to yourself. I know it's more expensive. But do you want to pay now or pay later? Pay the doctors? Pay to warehouse somebody $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month because they're too sick to take care of themselves?
Yep.
No. Now's the time to spend the money on good health. But you have to have knowledge and wisdom to achieve that goal of good health. And it requires, as Frosty said, the removal of all of these horrible toxic chemicals. They're pathologically evil. I don't know how they get away with putting them in food, but they do. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Oh, of course, it's all money.
Yeah, they buy off. You know, you've got all the big guns up there. You know, there's like six lobbyists for every senator and six lobbyists for every House member for the United States Congress.
They're all targeted. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and so Monsanto makes sure that nobody passes any laws against glyphosates or Roundup. I mean, go to your local Lowe's or go to your local Home Depot and look at the chemicals. All those chemicals, and people go out and spray that crap all over their sidewalks so they don't have to pick up a weed. They just spray it dead, but then all that glyphosate and Roundup that goes into the water system, and that drains off into the underground water and certainly the groundwater, polluting it. And then it drains into the rivers, and then it just drains into the ocean and poisons the ocean. And you eat the fish out of the oceans. You've got Fukushima. I could go on and on. So in order to protect yourself, you got to stop. I highly recommend that you avoid America's junk food. And I mean every junk food, junk place. It's literally processed food, chemicalized food. And you've got to be aware of that. The average tap water in this country, 5 to 10 different impurities in the average tap water. So you've got to get a clean tap water filtering system. I go to Natural Grocers and I get 6 gallons every week or so, purified reverse osmosis water. And I gave that to Sandy at all times. And then you've got... There's now obesity is now being connected with of Alzheimer's because you're carrying all the high triglycerides of fats, and your bloodstream is not feeding your brain cells because it's so loaded up with all these fats. It's called triglycerides in your bloodstream, and it's just horrible. And you've got all these impurities going on. So obesity, America's junk food and obesity habit that's causing so many diseases. A whopping 42% of Americans are obese, and that was in the Peter Attia's book, Outlive. And and here's obesity. Grossly obese term is morbidly obese, or class 3 obesity refers to a severe level of obesity defined by a body mass index, a BMI of 40 or higher, or being 100 pounds or more over ideal body weight. It's a chronic, dangerous health condition that significantly increases the risk of serious disease, diabetes, heart disease, and of course, a stroke. And so if you want to live a reasonable, decent life, the key is you gotta go thin. You gotta stay lean. And that doesn't guarantee that you're not going to catch Alzheimer's, because Sandy was very trim. But you will magnify your consequences if you put the extra 20 pounds on, or 30 pounds, or 40 pounds, or 50 pounds, or, and on up, which Americans are doing to themselves. And the biggest key that I guess I want to really bring to everybody is get out in front of Alzheimer's with that healthy eating and exercise and lifestyle before it starts manifesting. Because Alzheimer's, you'll read from all these books, it starts 25 years before it starts manifesting. And so it's you can't just sit around, I'll wait to get healthy when I'm 50. Well, by the time you're 50, you've already set the Alzheimer's or the ALS or the Parkinson's. I remember one of my doctor friends, Dr. John Tanton up in Petoskey, Michigan. Uh-huh. He was a beekeeper, and he was a doctor. And he and his wife would have a garden, but he was putting, you remember all the tomato plants, he used to spread that powder on the tomato plants. So mm-hmm. it goes into the soil and gets sucked up by the tomatoes. And he was about 70, and he got Parkinson's. And he suffered Parkinson's the rest of his life. And then it was some magazine came out. Parkinson's is tied to, powdering your vegetables in your garden, and that's what did it. They had all. I sent the gosh darn article off to Mary Lou, his wife, but he suffered that. And I when I was working as a volunteer ski instructor, for the handicap, we had a girl in there, and she was overweight. And that fall, she got she came down with ALS, and then and she was gone about 18. I think it was about 18 months later. She was.
But that ALS was was percolating in her system.
Oh yeah.
Maybe for years before.
Years. That's
it,
right.
It surfaced and became clinically observable. Okay.
Right. Yeah, neurological damage, and it. So again, all of these things happen to two of the happiest people you could ever meet. Certainly, Sandy and I danced. We competed in Texas. We competed in West Coast Swing in Georgia, which is shag dancing. In short, it's the same thing. And here in Colorado, and we were at the Rocky Mountain Swing Club, and we were at the Stampede for Country and Western, and we were at the Grizzly Rose. All those things were so beautiful, and we got to live such a beautiful life together. And then, just to describe what happened, Sandy, I was soaking her feet in the afternoon there, and she was, you know, in that ion cleansing bath. It was chelating all these chemicals and all these things out of her body.
Right.
And I did that every day, and
Hold on a second. Take a breath.
Yeah.
Every time Frosty was on the program with all of us, this is the, I won't call it a burden, this is the mission he was on with Sandy. And he never talked about it on the air. I never heard a defeated word from this man once, not once. It was always something new, or I'm doing this, we're doing that. And he always treated her like she could still hear him all right and understand what was going on. We don't know, I don't know if she could or couldn't, but I think there was more going on there, even near the end, than she could manifest in an observable way. And I think that life force, was it completely gone, Frosty, or did it just fade away slowly? How did it happen?
It faded away slowly, literally day by day, and in fact, in the last week, she passed away on the 18th. That was, you know, that's last Wednesday week ago.
Yeah.
And she was eating broccoli soup, and I had a cup of it was pasta something with that, and she was sitting there, and she had her feet in the warm water, and I was coming over with a cup of water, and I was talking to her, and she was just sitting there, and she was looking at me, and then all of a sudden, her head just—we have high back seats in the dining room there—and her head just fell backwards, and I hadn't done that before. But she was not drinking water, and she'd gotten down to 90 pounds. And she wasn't eating. No. I had to feed her. I mean, I had to feed her. Mm-hmm. And she was incontinent, and I had to take care of her incontinence every day, twice a day or so. And it was.
Well, your medical background, going back to Vietnam and so forth, really played a big role in your ability to do all these things too. You had knowledge. You had a base.
I certainly learned everything. Safety. I mean, I've taken safety courses. I was a cardiac cath med tech. You name it. And so anyway. She went back, and I went over there, and I grabbed her head. I said, "Honey, what's wrong?" And her eyes were dead. And I have to say, I wasn't ready for this. I wasn't ready for this. And
you never are. How can you be?
I thought I had a couple more years, and I didn't even mind it. Just being with Sandy was okay in my world. I gave her, I pinched her nose, and I gave her mouth to mouth, and then that wasn't doing anything, and she wasn't breathing, and she went totally limp. And so I picked her up and I put her in the carpet, and then a neighbor. I called a neighbor, and he came over here, and he called 911, and they came mm-hmm. within 5 minutes, and they said, she's gone. And then they wrapped her up, and they put her on a gurney, and I'm beside myself. I'm crying like a baby. I mean, I was just crying my eyes out. And they said, you want to say goodbye to your wife? And I went back in mm-hmm. to where she was right there in the living room, and I kissed her, and I hugged her her head, put mm-hmm. put my forehead down to her forehead, and then I kissed her again, and I said, Sandy, I couldn't help falling in love with you. And those were my last words to Sandy, the love of my life. Anna, I'll never get to see her again. And
I think you will somewhere down the road here when it's your time. Hopefully this isn't the only dimension to it all. And I've been in the light. I think many of you listening have had experiences similar. If this is all there is, what a terrible, terrible situation. I think you'll be, if there is an afterlife, if there is a place we go back to, a starting point, she's there, she's watching, she's waiting, and I don't see why that can't be. And anyhow, that's a kind of a cliched thing to say. But you handled this whole thing with such grace for all these years. I don't know anyone who has that kind of substance in them. Maybe they do, but I'm not going to find out until and unless I know them and they have a similar circumstance to deal with. But you should never doubt what you did and what you achieved. And it's often said, what would Sandy want for you right now? What would she tell you to do? And you need to spend time with yourself and think about that. I know enough. I think that her message is something that would be helpful at this point.
Well, she would tell me to keep dancing. And in the end, with all of this that's happened to me and all my sorrow, and I don't know, I mean, I kind of got a hold of myself. When friends come over to talk to me, it takes me out of my sorrow until then they go.
Very fortunate. You both had such wonderful friends, they're coming through now.
And they have been. And I want to thank the people from Australia. They were so kind, and everyone that's written emails to me, it's been so kind. And in the end, Jeff, I can say this. I'm really one of the luckiest men to ever walk the planet. Because
that's
a
blessing
for
us.
And be with Sandy. And if anyone of you knew her, you would love her, because she mm-hmm. was so dynamic and so kind and so loving and so just you couldn't help but be her best friend, because she would be your best friend. And
you both were blessed
lucky boy.
To the max.
Yep.
And we have to say goodnight now at this point.
Okay.
But thank you for sharing that. And I'm sure an awful lot of people heard it loud and clear. Your address again?
FrostyW@junO.com. I can give you the outline of all the things to do so you don't get Alzheimer's. And just thank all of you for your kindness. And I know there's a lot of warm thoughts and prayers coming toward.
Yeah.
And so thank you.
Okay, my friend.
Get Jeff.
Some rest. Okay.
I will.
We'll talk. All righty.
Good night.
Good night. Frosty Wooldridge, FrostyW@junO.com. Okay, we'll be back.